Hey, good morning, guys. Privileged to spend the morning with you. It's nothing like speaking to a captive crowd with like the meat sweats, you know. So if you fall asleep because you ingested too much bacon, I won't even take it personally. So, well, it's great to be here with you guys this morning. What I'm hoping to share with you guys is a journey that I have been on over the last 2 years to give you guys just a window into this daily quest I have been on for the last 2 years or so. During the Philippians series last fall, I shared on a Sunday morning my own personal struggles with bouts of anxiety. And I got a lot of amens. And I got a lot of people who approached me after I publicly just confessed my issues. You know, being a pastor is weird because I'm the broken places in my life that Jesus is working on every now and then. He just knocks and he's like, I just want you to tell everybody about the things that I'm working on in your life. And in that moment, I said, hey, for the majority of my adult life, I have struggled with bouts of anxiety, and if I leave that unchecked, those turn into bouts of depression, and shared just my own personal journey, how Jesus has met me in anxiety and actually called me into a new, freer, less anxious way of life. And immediately after I shared my own journey, my own struggles with anxiety, my email inbox filled up. Many men and women in our congregation, they just said, hey, I need to meet with you. I need to pray because that's my story too. Isn't it true, guys, that we live in some pretty unsettling times where it's just easy to wake up and to feel absolutely overwhelmed and just inundated with messages of fear and worry. And when we face situations where we know there's a lot at stake right now, and I have absolutely no control over the outcome, that tends to actually constrict our souls and make us anxious. And so many of us walk around through life with clenched teeth like anxious emojis. That's if you could take a picture of our souls, like right now, I know a lot of us in this room, we've been just gritting our teeth and going through our day. There's the rare guy I run into that just has like a keep calm and press on sort of attitude towards life. And if that's just you, and honestly, you're just like Teflon, and things just roll off of you, and you just have this undisturbed peace where you never freak out, this is going to not apply to you really whatsoever. But if you have a propensity, or there's times in your life where you freak out and become an anxious hot mess and you lose perspective and you feel constricted, this message is for you. This message is for you this morning. And I know by the size of this crowd, there's probably a few guys in here this morning that are at a place where you feel like you're just drowning and gasping for air. And 2 years ago, I'll never forget it, my family and I, we were taking some time away in Black Butte. I was coming back from a trip overseas, reconnecting with my family, and I literally felt like I was suffocating. I was suffocating, and I had an anxiety attack. How many of you, I mean, you don't have to show hands, but you've just been there. Like your heart rate accelerates, you feel out of control. It was a mix of just pain I was processing in my own life, overwhelming things that I experienced overseas, the pain of others, stuff going on in our own family, financial struggles that I didn't have any control over any of these things, and I literally felt like I'm just gasping for air here. I'm drowning. I literally feel like I'm suffocating. It was just in a really dark spot. And so this morning, I want to share with you, honestly, in my life, one of the most personal acts of grace, where Jesus has just intervened and transformed my life, is he met me when I was really on the road to burnout in Black Butte. And he invited me into a new way of life and essentially told me, Christopher, I want to teach you what it means to not be anxious about your life. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. Jesus began to just tenderly teach me a radically different way of life. And so this morning, I don't just want to pass on to you some religious principles that I've gleaned from the Word, but living truths that have honestly just liberated me from within and rewired the way that I see my work, that I see my family, that I see my relationship with the Lord. So that's what I'm going to speak out of this morning to you guys. And it all started with something Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6, the greatest sermon in history, and the greatest preacher of all time, King Jesus. We're going to read what Jesus has to say about this non-anxious life that he calls us into in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat, well, that's taken care of this morning, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even in Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wow. This is where it all started for me. Right here in these words of Jesus that he addressed to a crowd of people that we're in a world of hurt. You see, to understand the gravity of Christ's invitation to leave behind anxiety and to seek first the kingdom of God, to focus your life in one direction, and to be undistracted, completely satisfied, you actually need to know that the crowd that heard this sermon was in a world of hurt. We know that because before we have Jesus' records and Jesus in Matthew's Christ story here, he tells us that the crowd that came to hear Jesus' sermon on the Mount that day was a crowd of people who came afflicted. In fact, if you have a Bible, you can actually look at the context back in chapter 4 because this brings the gravity to Christ's words. In chapter 4, Matthew records and he tells us that Jesus went throughout all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick and those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan, and Jesus saw that crowd. And he called his disciples close. And that's where this sermon comes from. You know, the people that have come to hear Jesus on that day, they've come because they're desperate and they're drowning. They haven't just come to hear a sermon. They have come because deep down, they're overwhelmed and they need a Savior. Have you ever been there before? You show up to church on Sunday morning and you go, I don't just need a cup of coffee and a sermon. I actually need salvation. I need the living God to speak to me. I'm at that place where I'm just at the end of my rope. I'm completely overwhelmed. And I'm literally showing up to church today because I need a miracle. I don't know if you've ever been there before. I have. And that's the mindset that the crowd shows up to hear this sermon, to hear Christ's words, is they are the anxious and overwhelmed crowd. Which is why 6 times in this passage alone, Jesus says, don't be anxious. You see that word anxiety all over the place. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Which, if you think about it, it kind of feels like a trite thing to say to someone when they're just bleeding out and hurting. In fact, I dare you to try this in your marriage. You know, like your wife is just like, she's really, really, really hurting. She's overwhelmed with the kids. Like, I dare you to just like go to your wife and just like quote Jesus and just say, hey, don't be anxious about your life. Like, consider the birds. She'll give you the bird, you know, like it's like, no. When people are hurting, many times if you're just flying in and you're like, hey, you know, like Paul says, like to be anxious about nothing and to rejoice all the time and pray about everything. It's like, I kind of want to punch you. That's my response. You can pray for my sanctification, you know, like it doesn't help when you're hurting and then somebody just says, stop it. Like, cut it out. Stop being anxious. But that's not what Christ is doing here today. Like, he's not just saying, stop it. Like, stop being anxious. Stop freaking out. Like, that's not the point of Matthew chapter 6 and this whole sermon on, I don't want you to be anxious. You see, when Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, unlike us when we give that kind of advice away when people are hurting, if you're Jesus, the Son of God, you actually have power to set people free from within. So when Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life, it's actually an invitation to follow him into a freer way of life, to let him speak words that just unknot you. And so that's what Matthew 6 is it's actually just a living invitation to every single one of us here today saying, hey, I don't want you to actually just be stuck in anxiety. I want you to follow me into a freer way of life. So what I want to give to you guys this morning is 6 habits that have rewired my life, revolutionized the way that I follow Jesus. And although it hasn't led to quick fixes where I never freak out or I'm never like just a hot mess, these habits, as I have actually met Christ in and through them, it has led to a freer way of life. Where I'm at today, I have never experienced more joy, more freedom, less anxiety, more satisfaction, greater presence in my marriage and with people. These habits have changed my life. And so what I'm hoping to do, I'm hoping this is just going to make some traction with where you're at, because they're just super practical. So, and they go together. So habit number one, number two, they go together. The first thing that you need to learn how to do is to take an honest inventory of what you're anxious and overwhelmed about on a daily basis. To actually pay attention to your own soul. And here's why. This is what seems to happen in my life. I wake up, and on a daily basis, I am inundated with messages and with issues I'm facing. And so just purely hypothetically, right here, you know, I'll get an email and my mother-in-law will say, hey, I'm coming out to see you over spring break. And I bought, this is purely hypothetical, but like, she's like, hey, I'm coming out to see you. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then I look up, you know, during the snowstorm, and I begin to see my roof leaking, which is totally awesome, but again, hypothetical. Then I get an email, you know, from the principal of the school, and they're like, hey, your lovely child, you know, that like we're trying to educate with your tax dollars, like punch another kid on the playground because they took his hat, his favorite hat, at school on Wednesday, hypothetically. And then my wife is saying, like, you don't spend time with me. I don't feel like you see me. I don't feel like you care about me whatsoever. And you went fishing when we were supposed to spend some time together. And all of these things, they come in from every direction. Trouble. And what ends up happening, if you're like me, is this guy. Right there. That's what happens. And every single day, if I'm not paying attention, those things come in, and it's like something within, I just begin to grip my teeth, I begin to just get anxious because I'm inundated with these things, and I have absolutely no control over this. And so what's your anxiety list? What are you currently anxious about, like in this moment? What have you been anxious about this week? Or have you even paid attention to what's knotted you up and to the anxious thoughts that have taken root in your life? Because many times, I mean, I'm convinced these days that one of Satan's greatest tactics to steal, kill, and destroy is anxiety in our culture right now. I believe it's actually a satanic tactic to kill, steal, and destroy, because I'm seeing it take out so many people left and right. But we allow anxiety in because it's kind of like a cultural acceptable thing to like stew on. And so most of us, we end up walking around like this guy. And so I think you have to pay attention to the anxious thoughts that are taking root in your life and learn how, instead of just taking all of that stuff within, learn how to turn every anxious care into a prayer. So I have good news for guys this morning that feel like they just struggle with their prayer life, okay? If you are an anxious person, you can actually have a really fruitful prayer life. I'm totally, totally serious about this. If you have things you're anxious about right now, I can actually teach you how to pray. Because what happens is all these anxieties come in, and in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, a passage of scripture that has absolutely turned my life inside out, Paul says this. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything. But in every single thing, in supplication and prayer, present your requests before God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And what I love about these words from Paul right here, because they, I believe, mirror the words of Jesus. This is something you learned from Jesus. Is this is a hypothesis you can test. So here's how simple it is, though. When you're anxious about something and you take an honest inventory, every single day I do this. I've been doing this for the last 2 years. And you realize, wow, I'm really anxious about this thing with my mother-in-law. I need to pray about that. And you shoot it out. And you go, oh, wow, this thing about my kids, I feel like a loser parent right now. And you turn that into an honest prayer. And you bring your heart before the Lord. And you take all of these anxieties that want to just absolutely turn your perspective, your attention inward through prayer. You flip these. And you do what Paul says. The only way, guys, to rejoice in the Lord always, be anxious about nothing, and pray about everything is this, okay? It's a process. In order to rejoice in the Lord always, you need to learn to rejoice more often. More often, about more things. In order to be anxious about nothing, we actually have to develop habits in our life where we're anxious about less. And in order to pray about everything, and that's the way that Paul describes it. It's a superlative. It's like, pray about absolutely everything. Pray, 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 pray. Then we have to learn how to develop a life of prayer where we turn our cares into prayers. And this has revolutionized my prayer life and my walk with the Lord, because well, for years, I was good at praying for other people and praying for projects and other people. I think many times in my own prayer life, it was lacking with my own personal heart and need for Christ on a daily basis. And so it has been such a powerful, transforming thing every single day. Take an honest inventory. What am I anxious about? And every single one of those things, perhaps for some of you guys, writing it out will help so that you can just identify what is the thing I'm really worried about right now, and just go to the Lord with those requests, and you will experience what I have experienced. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your mind in Christ Jesus in a way that I don't even totally understand. Because it's not just a cognitive thing. It's not just about a truth thing. It's actually something that I experience. We don't like talking this way in church, but I feel it. When I do this and I begin to present my request before God and I no longer am just turned inward, I'm filled with strength. I'm filled with peace. And let me tell you, this is such a more fruitful way to deal with the problems in your life than just freaking out about them and worrying. Jesus, I mean, it's kind of funny the question he poses to the disciples. He says, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Which of you have actually solved any of your problems by worrying about them? Has worry ever helped you? Has it extended your day? Jesus said, did you get more time? Like by freaking out and by being anxious, did it add to your life? And the answer to that is no. Anxiety, it doesn't add to our life. It robs. It's a thief. It's a thief. It's something, it's a tactic Satan uses to rob us of time, energy, strength. I love the way that Charles Spurgeon put it. He said this about anxiety. He said, you know what? Our anxieties, they don't empty tomorrow of sorrow. They simply empty today of strength. They just empty today of strength. But what fills us with strength is when we go to the Lord and we just pray. And we say, Lord, today I need you. I'm anxious. I'm overwhelmed about all of these things, Lord. I need your peace today that surpasses understanding. I need you to guard my heart and mind because I just feel surrounded right now. Man, guys, if you could actually just develop this habit in your prayer life, I guarantee you it will revolutionize your walk with Christ. And it's so simple. It's so simple. I love in 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, cast all your cares and anxieties on him because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. You know, I shared this story when I preached the Philippians passage and talked about anxiety. So I'm a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. Are there any fishermen here? I mean true fishermen. I don't mean fly fishermen that talk about fishing. Talk. Jeff Coffey, I love you, man. They just don't fill out the punch cards, man. It's not biblical, you know? It's subdue all creation. Like, just fill the freezer. Provide for your family. Repent, like fly fishermen. Come on. It's funny. I have to razz when I can because I just catch way more fish. And so the Lord needs to work on pride in my life, I know. But it is a fact. It is a fact. So I remember I was out. I'm learning how to use a spay rod, which is just an instrument of futility in my mind, like completely. But I'm learning how to fly fish, and my good friend Jeff Coffey, that I'm going to have to really buy him lunch after razzing him here publicly. I remember being out with him on the river. It was my first time out fly fishing. I'd never fly fished before because I've been too busy catching fish. And he was teaching me, like he's a really, really good fisherman. He's an outstanding guide and fly fisherman. And he was teaching me how to use a spay rod. And I just was like just basically getting myself in knots. There was no like Brad Pitt River Runs Through It like moment. There was no grace. I was just like whipping this thing, you know, across the river. And he got in my ear, you know, and was trying to help me cast. And we've been going out and fishing quite a bit, gotten to know his family. And I'll never forget, like one day we were on the river and I'm trying to, you know, cast. And Coffee, he says, you know, Kaufman, if you can't cast pretty, just cast a lot. If you can't, because my cast is really ugly. It's like really, 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 really ugly. And those words, it taught me something about prayer. It taught me that I don't think the Lord cares how pretty our prayers are. He just wants us to cast. Cast all your anxieties. Just cast. Because he cares about you. Like, the Lord doesn't care if our prayer life is pretty. You don't have to use all these religious sounding words. What he's looking for is trust and honesty. When you begin to cast all your cares and anxieties on him, or you take the things you're anxious about and trust him with the Lord, listen, you need to hear this morning. Your prayers don't kill anxiety. You don't go to war against anxiety. You'll lose every single time. You know what kills anxiety? Trust. 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 I trust the Lord more today. I trust him. And you can't develop trust in your relationship with God by Bible study alone. You can't do it. You have to actually take these beautiful truths and promises, and you have to cast. You have to take your heart, and you just have to cast it before God. The things that you're just drowning in right now, the Lord just wants you to just cast. Just bring your heart. Talk to the Lord. Tell him you're frustrated. My goodness, guys, read the Psalms. He wants an unfiltered, trusting relationship where we just say, I'm burned out. I'm angry. I feel like you've totally abandoned me right now. Just bring your honest heart before him, and as you develop trust, it will annihilate your anxieties. And you'll develop a heart where the peace of Christ, on a regular basis, you just experience it, and it's just normal. It's just normal. And that's what I think the Lord is trying to develop us in us. And men, as we pray our anxieties to him, is a heart that trusts him. That trusts him. All right, I could spend the whole time talking about that. Number 3 and 4, I'm going to move quick through this. So take an honest inventory of anxious thoughts as they're coming in. Turn those things into prayers. Number 3, take an honest inventory of the inputs in your life. The inputs. The anxiety-provoking inputs. What are you letting in? What are your inputs? This study just blew me away a couple years ago when I ran into this. Did you know that we Americans are the most anxious people on the planet today? We are the most anxious society that's ever walked the face of the earth. I don't totally know how they measure these things, but sociologists know that we're actually an anxious mess. In terms of our mental health and the anxiety quotient in our nation, compared to other nations where people are threatened and facing things like needing clean water or shelter and safety, Americans are markedly more anxious than the majority of the world, which is strange if you think about it, isn't it? I mean, why are we so anxious about our lives? Why are we so anxious? We have so much. Most of us are not facing today life-threatening things like an, you know, I need clean water or I need safety. Maybe some of you are facing life-threatening diseases, but the majority of us, we're anxious about things that are not life-threatening. And I think the sociologists have found there's two things that are actually making us chronically anxious, overwhelmed people. Inputs and outputs. Inputs and outputs. First off, inputs. We, because of our technology today and the smartphones in our pockets, we have access to an endless stream of input, information. And technology can be a good thing. Absolutely. But it actually has a dark side. And it can have an effect where it takes a toll on our soul over time. And what I found, it's just hard when you're constantly, constantly plugged in. You're walking around like an email inbox with two legs. You do know that the Lord did not create us to be omni-available and omnipresent and omni-aware of like the stock trends and what your friends are eating for dinner and what's happening everywhere all the time. Jesus wasn't omnipresent. Yet we, many times, want to use our technology to be present to way too much. And honestly, our souls are not hardwired for that. And so these inputs through our technology, through the things that we are streaming and letting in, many, many times, they're feeders to our anxious thoughts. They're feeders. They just feed our anxious thoughts with the news stories that we're reading, where people don't publish good news. So the majority of the news, if you're paying attention, it's fear. It's trouble. And I'm beginning to realize, guys, news is a very powerful thing. News is a powerful thing because news tells me what is happening in the world. And what I believe is happening in the world has an effect on what I feel, what I believe, and how I live. And I think that we're just inundated with all of these inputs that we're ingesting with our news stories and our 14-day weather forecast from hell. I look at the weather forecast and it does not bring feelings of peace living in the Pacific Northwest. I'm like, the end of all things is nigh. That's how I feel. Many times when I look at the 14-day weather forecast and it's like, you know what you need more of? Rain. Rain with like big dogs and active kids. That's what I need. That is torrential downpour. That's awesome. I'm glad I checked the weather forecast. That's so awesome. It makes me feel better about today. And I feel the same way about news stories. But they're all forecasts. And we bring these things in and it can take an unhealthy toll on our souls, which is why I think Jesus tells a parable of a sower who went out to scatter seed, and some of it was stolen, but some of the seed was choked out by the anxieties and cares of life. In Mark chapter 4, you can read this parable and reflect on this later today. This was awfully convicting when I took an honest evaluation of just the inputs and what's affecting the soil of my life, the soil of my soul and my mind and my heart. What's impacting the soil? Because our inputs do. They're not neutral. And in Mark 4, in verse 14, another parable Jesus says here, he says this: the sower went to go just sow. That it sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown, and they hear, and Satan immediately comes, and he takes away the word that's sown in them. And these are the ones on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation and trouble and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the one, listen to this, that are sown among thorns. These are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. Listen, guys, faith cannot grow in the soil of a chronically anxious, overwhelmed heart that's just taking in all of these streams of input while God is trying to plant his living word in your life. And the word of God in my life for many years, it just was competing with a lot of thorns. A lot of thorns. So my advice to you is pray about turning off some inputs. Pray about some things in your life that you can uproot that are actually choking out faith that God is trying to grow and develop in your life. And for me, that looks like turning off the phone when I'm with my family. It does have an off button. For me, it looks like I actually don't read the news in the mornings anymore. So I've reordered my schedule. And we're going to get to that because Jesus is saying, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. And I think sequence in our life is really important. But I don't read the news in the morning anymore. Because I believe, actually, that there's a God who is in charge of the world, can actually spin the cosmos, handle all things while I eat with my breakfast, and spend some time in the Word. Do you think the Lord can handle that if you actually just eat your breakfast, spend some time in the Word, getting a living perspective, living words that will revolutionize your life, actually show you, hey, this is what the Father is doing, not just with the birds and the lilies in the world, but it will help you consider, like Jesus says, consider what God is doing in the world. Could you actually just afford, turn off your phone, don't check the news in the morning. You can check it later on in the afternoon. This is not a legalistic thing. Just reorder your day and go, okay, I'm going to get first things first. I'm going to spend some time in the Word. I need a living perspective that's going to overflow into all my other relationships today. So I'm going to guard this time. I don't know about you. I'm just sick and tired of the phrase quiet time. Like it's just never connected with me because my life's not quiet. My life's not quiet. I'm raising kids that just basically they're hardwired like Bear Grylls, and there's just like chaos. There's chaos in my life. And so quiet time is not always an option. Going on like a retreat with Jesus and where it's just like quiet in my context, it's not always a possibility. And so for me, it's actually more like war. Every day, going, Lord, I want you to go to war against all these things I'm anxious about. I'm desperate today. I need to see who you are, Lord, and I want to consider today that you're the king of the universe. You're in control of all these things, and I need you to just impart living truths into my life. And when I go to the Lord and I'm looking every single day, like Jesus says, I want you to look at the birds. I want you to consider how God's taking care of the lilies and how he cares about you. I'm opening the scriptures and I'm being reintroduced to Jesus every single day. And I go, that's what I need first in my day. Then I actually am in a much better state of mind to read the news in the afternoon. Like that, just try that on for size. Turn off your inputs in the morning a little bit. You don't need to see that your friends are on vacation in Hawaii at 7 a.m. in the morning right now in February. You just don't. You don't. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. So maybe just turn off those inputs, dial down the social media, like surfing in the morning time, and actually replace that with some fruitful time in God's Word. Test that hypothesis. Test it. Change the sequence of your day. Guard that time. Test it. And what you'll see is you'll experience the same thing that David records in Psalm 1. Same thing. This promise, guys, I love this about the Bible. You can test it. Listen, Christianity is not just a religion filled with principles. to just fill your mind with all these spiritual truths. It's a way of life and a hypothesis that you can test. You can test every single thing I'm telling you this morning, 100% of it. So test it. And what you'll find is what I found, Psalm 1, you'll experience more of this. And this is good. This is the good life. For me, this is a good day, is a Psalm 1 day. Let me read it to you. Blessed, which really should be translated happy. So I like this. So if you don't want to be happy, we just need to talk, okay? Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but listen to this. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And listen to this description, guys. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in all he does, he prospers. He flourishes. When you root your life in God's word and you just dig out the thorns, you go, okay, I'm tired of the word of God being one input among many where I have a 10-minute little quiet time that I'm not letting that in. I'm not praying that out. I'm not praying it out. It's one input among many. It doesn't take root. It's choked out by thorns. It won't cut it. So guard some uninterrupted time. And when you have that fruitful time, just mining the scriptures, going, Lord, I need to be reintroduced to Jesus that I need today. I need to be reintroduced to the fact, Lord, that if you care about things like birds and grass, you care about me. What's happening? Oh, goodness. Thank you. I was making you anxious. Thank you. That's so awesome. Thank you, brothers. That's amazing. That would have been a great illustration, though, right? Because then you're like, oh, this guy's a hypocrite. Like, he's super anxious now about the podium. So, but test this hypothesis. Listen, guys, if God cares about birds and he cares about things like grass, clothing the grass of the field, how much does he care about you and the things you're facing right now? Open the scriptures. The Holy Spirit will convince your heart. Guys, you're cared for more than you'll ever imagine. You allow these words in, and it doesn't have to compete with your Twitter account and all of that. And it will turn you into a completely different guy. And you'll have a fruitful life. Like, you'll flourish. Your family will actually have somebody who's present. You'll work better. You'll be less distracted. Every area of your life will begin to flourish and just grow. It's so cool. If you just go, man, I don't want God's word competing with all these thorns and all this other stuff. I'm going to turn off some of my inputs. Just try that out. Test that hypothesis. I hope that's making connection with some of you guys. Man, that has just been so life-changing for me. And 5 and 6, this is like the gold is right here. It all leads up to something that Jesus says towards the end of his message. He says this in Matthew chapter 6. It all leads to this moment after Jesus has said, this is what I want you to do. He says, listen, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In all these other things that you're seeking, that you're anxious about, that they'll be added unto you. So Jesus contrasts two ways of seeking, and this is a new thing that the Lord has been working on in my life is focus. Focus and what's first, okay? So I read a book, super helpful if you guys are readers, this book by Greg McEwen, Essentialism, has the tagline, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. Really, 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 really great book. In it, there's a diagram that just filleted me, and it goes like this, and there's just like two ways of life, you know, that McEwen talks about, and one is this, where you're pursuing 10,000 things, and maybe, you know, in that whole pursuit, you're pursuing Jesus too, because you're a follower of Jesus, but you're scattered in all these directions, and this is what Jesus warns about. He says, listen, if you're concerned with seeking things like what are you going to wear? How am I going to eat? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to make it through this day? He goes, listen, there's no difference between you and a Gentile then. This is what the world is doing constantly. It is actually just seeking after all of these things. And many times as a follower of Christ, we just add Jesus in the mix. And we go, yeah, I need to seek after Jesus. But what actually is first in your life? Like what gets really the lion's share of your heart and your focus and your attention in your life? Like what has the first spot? I mean, we have to seek after a whole lot of things, it feels like. But Jesus says, but what I want you to do, this is incredibly pragmatic, is Jesus says, no, what I want is I want the first spot. I want the first spot. I want you to seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is more than just having just righteous relationship with God. That word righteousness, don't have time to unpack it all, but it just means rightly ordered relationships. Like right relationship with God, yourself, and others that just overflows with life. So God says, I want you to seek me, your relationship with me first, my kingdom, not yours, not your kingdom, not your kingdom first, your priorities first, me, things I care about, my priorities, my way of life. Seek me first, and all these other things, they'll be added unto you. So here is new way of life that Jesus is teaching the Kaufman family. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you prioritize Jesus, seeking him first, loving him first, before all things, what happens is when you wake up in the morning and you do that, it's like a line is shot through your day. You go, you know what a good day is for me? Loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others as myself. That's a good day. That's like I'm going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness today. You know what a good day is? According to David, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in your house, that I may inquire in your temple and consider your beauty. Consider that God's beautiful. That's a good day. That's a good day. It's not every day for me, even though I'm a pastor. But when I seek him first, I go, okay, I'm going to get the sequence right in my life. A line is shot through my day. I have a direction. And out of that, it's amazing. This is a hypothesis you can test. All these other things that we're anxious and worried about, they get added in. They get added in like unexpected ways. You actually end up more productive some of the time. Other times you prioritize things that are more important than the things that actually had the first spot in your life. So you do less, but actually your life is just filled with a significant more, a significant less that's actually more. That's how the kingdom works. It's so weird. I don't even totally understand this. But can I tell you, this is just a more fun, fruitful way to live. It just is. When you get the sequence right, this is so simple. It's so simple. I just wake up and I go, okay, I just need a line shot through my day. I need every single day. I'm going to go to the Lord. I need to see who he is, what he's doing in my life, what he's doing in the world. And Lord, all these other things that I'm anxious about, please just add in. add in to my life what I need? I mean, Jesus tells his disciples, he's like, guys, the Lord already knows everything you need. Don't you believe that? Like, he actually knows what you need. He knows about your leaky roof. He knows about your mother-in-law that's like, come in, and like everything, your business right now, the things that you're facing, your investments and everything you're worried about, like with the market right now, your kids, if you're in school, like your hopes, your dreams, your desires. He knows and he cares infinitely more about those things than you do. Infinitely more. And if you have that truth every single day, you actually have a focus in your life where it just overflows. It overflows in these amazing offshoots where you get to see just Jesus at work in and through your life. It's amazing. It's amazing. And you can test it. You can just go, I'm going to actually learn how to do that. These three things. Like, I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to stop freaking out. I'm going to turn my anxieties into prayers. I'm going to dial down the social media, like the endless streams of news reports that say the end is nigh. I'm going to dial those things down. I'm not going to have them compete with God's word in a space in my life where I'm bringing them in all the time, you know? Don't do that. Don't read email. Honestly, the Lord can spin the cosmos, take care of all those things while you just spend some time in his word. He can handle that, seriously. Do that. Replace that time with fruitful, focused time in God's word. Seek him first. Get the sequence right in your life, and it will actually make you a less anxious, freer person. And you'll see, this is just a more fruitful way to live. I hope that that's not impressive and the most simple thing like you've ever heard, because this is not complicated, and I am not an expert at this. I'm not an expert. I'm on a journey. This is what Jesus is doing in my life, and I pray it just makes contact with where you're at, with what you need from the Lord today. Let me pray for us, men. Father, thank you so much. Father, this invitation that your son Jesus extends to us to not be anxious about our lives. Thank you, Lord, you are a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, that your eye is on the sparrow, and Father, it's on us as your sons. I pray for men here today that are just feeling overwhelmed and outflanked by life, that, Lord, your peace that surpasses understanding will stand guard over hearts and minds in this room here today that are being attacked and assaulted by the enemy and his anxious schemes. Father, I pray that the living seed of your word would not be choked out or stolen in these men's lives, that this would be the most fruitful year of life and ministry for every single one of these men. I pray in their marriages, in their relationships, that you just start planting seeds that grow. Lord, and that you would just uproot thorns and anxious thoughts that have maybe been in there for a long time, so that these men here today, we can share stories of your goodness and faithfulness and things you've grown as we've learned how to just get the sequence right and how to pursue you first and to not seek after everything in our life the way that the world seeks. Father, you're so gentle and good. Thank you for the way that you are so loyally committed to teach us a better way of life with your son, Jesus. Have your way in us, Lord, so that we can represent, Lord, your beautiful son to a world right now that's in a world of hurt, and needs to see a Jesus who can calm storms through men who've been calmed to. We pray this in the powerful living name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's great to hang with you guys today.